Welcome to Season 2 of Gestalt Therapy Living Here and Now. In this season, Elizabeth will continue to take you through issues which she has come across in her Gestalt praxis, read about, or simply bumped into just living life. In addition, and new to this season, she hopes to occasionally have a guest on the show. The topics will still relate to mental well-being, existential questions, what makes your life meaningful, and also what makes it heavy. The setup of the episodes will be the same, with a set of headlines which hopefully will make it easier for you to make sense of what you hear. You can read much more about Elizabeth and how she works on her website willegestalt.eu.
Hi again, and a warm welcome to the 13th episode of Gestalt Therapy Living Here and Now. Today we will talk about who can benefit from Gestalt Therapy. And yes, today I say we, because a couple of years ago I met Una Mirkovic for the first time. And we had a coffee together and we spoke about Gestalt Therapy and about us and about the very new NGO called Gestalt Therapy Society Luxembourg, where we are now both members. And we have continued the talk, exchange ideas, and much more. And today I am so happy to welcome my very first guest on this podcast. Welcome to Una Mirkovic. Would you like to say a few words about yourself, Una?
Thank you, Elizabeth. So I'm a gestalt therapist based in Luxembourg, but I did my training partly in Belgrade in Serbia, where I come from, and partly in Belgium in Brussels. I also used to live and work in France, in Paris, where I worked as a volunteer with Gestalt in some French associations, where I'm still active doing online sessions. One of those associations is called L'Ipsy du Cœur, where I work with individuals. And the other one is called La Traversée, where I lead an encounter group with another colleague. Besides that, I'm working with my own clients from Serbia, France, and Luxembourg. I see them online and in person. And before becoming a gestalt therapist, I was a French teacher and a translator. I still do some translations in the domain of the gestalt therapy, so I'm very connected to both cultures since I was a child. I also like music very much. I'm singing bossa nova and jazz as an amateur in the first sense of the word, because the word amateur in French means a person that loves doing something.
Thank you very much, Una. And now let's move on to the figure of today. Figure of today. So today's figure is who can benefit from Gestalt therapy. This is not a simple subject to cover in 20 minutes, but we will do our best. And we will for sure give you some input for figuring out if Gestalt can be helpful for you or for a relative or a friend or maybe not. I did already in season one in episode 3, what is Gestalt therapy, it was called. I did there mention some research which came to the conclusion that the most important factor with regard to effectiveness of therapy actually is the therapist, more than the theoretical framework which is used in the therapy. Well, I don't know if this is very important for our talk here about who can benefit from Gestalt therapy, but let me just again repeat that if you see a therapist and find that it did not work for you, then try another therapist. Don't judge therapy or the theoretical framework as such. Well, enough talk from me. Now, I would really like to hear your viewpoints and ask your help, Una, to expand both on the theory and on the figure of today.
Yes, well, Gestalt therapy has its theory, but in practice, how a session will be depends a lot on the personality of the Gestalt therapists. And that is why every therapist is not the best therapist for every client, as you said. Even in terms of theory, gestalt therapists disagree and still lead an open dialogue about some points in gestalt therapy. For example, there is two types types of approaches of gestalt therapy that disagree about where they locate the self. According to the relation object gestalt therapists, it is located inside of the individual, so the therapists take the position of the one that is helping the client to understand what happens inside of him, helping him to integrate parts of himself. It is much closer to psychoanalysis and is related to the Fritz Perls early way of working, like, you know, the experiment of the empty chair, where the therapist puts one part of the client and makes him talk to the other one, for example. And besides that approach, on the other side, there are schools that adopt the field perspective, and that is a more recent way of understanding the theory. According to that approach, the self is situated on the contact border, partly outside. The theory is focused on the gestalt therapy postulate that the contact is the first experience and everything can be observed at the contact border of the therapist and the client. So the relationship between them is actually giving answers of what happens for the client in the outside world in contact with other people. So some authors think that both approaches have their domain of use, even if there are different perspectives. A lot of gestalt therapists do trainings in both schools. For example, a couple of years that we called in French cycle in field perspective school and another one in a relation object gestalt therapy school. And some authors think that the relation object gestalt approach is more suitable to work with psychopathologists, meaning mental disorders or mental illnesses, which are conditions that affect your thinking, feeling, mood, and behavior. And they can affect your ability to relate to others and function each day. So the examples would be depression, bipolar disorder, et cetera, et cetera. So the field perspective is an approach that works very well with clients that are looking for the new insights in their relational issues, for example. Also, the field perspective doesn't really find that psychopathology has its place in its perspective. Some field perspective authors suggest to introduce the term and develop the idea of contactopathology. That would be much more current with the field perspective.
Wow, Una, that was also some new knowledge there for me. And Una, which of these schools do you belong to? Which one do you actually use in your work?
Well, isn't that obvious? I was trained in the field perspective school.
Okay. Yeah, I sort of guessed. Yeah. Well, thanks. And I must admit that I do definitely both find contact and the contact styles very important in my work with the clients. And I definitely also do experiments. So maybe I'm a bit of a hybrid. And as you mentioned, some have trainings in both. Yeah. Thanks for that. And let's move on to how is this important? How is this important? Let's look at how is it important, who can benefit from gestalt therapy. And Una, what would your view be on this?
Well, I could talk about my experience. I have different profiles of clients in different contexts. So first, I'm seeing really vulnerable clients through the associations that I mentioned before. L'Ipsy du Coeur is an association that has several facilities in France, so in several cities, in Paris, Suresnes, Grenoble, and Rennes. And we also have a virtual facility for phone and online support. Their mission is to make psychotherapeutical support accessible to everyone, and we act as a community of support, meaning that a client is seeing the first available therapist, so he doesn't have one therapist who is his own therapist. We also have a very wide network of mental health institutions that we can contact in case we need to do so. So we receive vulnerable clients, people with psychiatric care that struggle with mental or social disorders, victims of domestic violence, people with suicidal ideas, but also people who feel isolated since the beginning of the pandemic because they live alone, or people who have relational or other issues and need to talk to someone. Those associations receive people that don't have financial means to pay for a therapy. So people that are received by L'Ipsy du Cœur, they contribute financially according to their possibilities. So they pay what they can.
Can I just ask a question?
Of course.
Do you work in all languages or many different languages, or is it mainly in French?
Unfortunately, I mean, it is mainly in French in their French associations, but there is also some people who are not French coming, since several therapists speak English, some of them speak Spanish also. So we're trying to suggest all the languages that we can.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks.
And the other association is La Traversée. So there, actually, it's a little bit different context. It's an association that is focused on helping individuals to restore connection with the society, and thus through workshops and encounter groups. And in this association, I co-lead with a colleague an encounter group, and the subject, the theme, are cultural differences and how to integrate them. And both of those associations are constituted mostly of Gestalt therapists, but there is also other therapists working with other humanistic or other approaches, such as the client-centered therapy, for example. There is also clinical psychologists and psychoanalysts and coaches. So the other context would be the context of my private practice, and there I choose my clients as they choose me. So I see clients with trauma or people that suffer from anxiety, panic attacks, with eating disorders, or that are just crossing some different moments in their life and need support to deal with problems in their relationships, integration in a new country. That is, for example, as you can notice, a very important subject for me, since I have been there and can fully relate with it. I believe you do so. I also work with people that suffer from burnouts or repetitive patterns. In private practice, it is important that I become aware of my personal boundaries when it comes to what I can do for the client. And that is why I can work with everybody and find it easier, for example, to work with some specific clients.
Yes, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, and so I can hear that it's your experience that many different types of clients actually can benefit from Gestalt therapy. And this is important because sometimes it's practical reasons or financial reasons which decide which therapy you finally get. I can also hear that in your work associations where supervision and cooperation between both therapists, associations and different institutions are important. And I can only agree with this point. Absolutely. Yeah. So let me just add that you can, of course, find all the details about the different associations in the description notes and on my webpage, willegestalt.eu. And Una, what did actually make you choose to study and to work with Gestalt therapy?
I discovered Gestalt therapy more than a decade ago as a client. I was seeing a therapist that a friend recommended, and I went to see her because I was crossing a different stage in my life and needed to talk to someone. So I had absolutely no idea what kind of therapy she was doing. Soon, I discovered a real new world of possibilities through new perspectives. And after I, if we can say that, solved my problem or scratched the surface of my symptom, I continued to see her because I loved our sessions, our discussions, what I have learned about psychology, philosophy, about myself, my environment. And I wanted to learn to be able to do work that she was doing and that I found really passionate back then. And I still do. And later, while I was doing my training in Brussels, I had a great opportunity to work on a translation of a very important French and worldwide known Gestalt therapist and theorist, Jean-Marie Robin, from French into Serbian. And with my trainings in Belgrade and Brussels, that was one of the key moments where I've learned things that made me really change my perspective of human interactions.
Yeah, thanks. It's interesting how a personal situation can move into a career. And if we now focus back on today's figure, who can benefit from Gestalt therapy, is there anything you would like to add?
Well, this also comes from my personal experience. It's working with the psychosis. So according to some gestalt therapists, here the theory of a contact doesn't really apply since psychotic clients have their own version of the reality. We have different references, so we can't really talk about establishing a contact. And I can say that this is my experience. But however, there are gestalt therapists who think that it is possible to treat psychopathologies through the field perspective, and they have a whole theory about that, and we can read about them. There are gestalt therapists from Italian school of gestalt in the description that we will find below on your page.
Yeah, thanks. There will be a lot of references both in the description notes and on the webpage. Yeah. And Una, if we continue, what about children? Can children benefit from gestalt therapy in your view?
Well, I do think that they can, but I don't work with children because I don't have a specified training in that area. And I think it is really very important to have one, especially when we want to work with children. A lot of my colleagues have that training, and it seems that they have a lot of work. So I believe, yes, they can benefit.
Yeah. I'm also aware of gestalt therapist who works with children with regard to awareness around emotions, sensations, thoughts, definitely. Yeah. However, we will always recommend that you check the therapist's experience regarding working with children, and also check if the therapist is working with an experienced supervisor. And what about clients that has some sort of abuse problem, like, for example, people with an alcohol problem?
Well, that is also a very interesting subject because it surely is important, you know, to have a present person as a client. So anyone who is on a drug treatment with a cloudy mind or is not really present, it could be a problem to work with them. So personally, I choose not to work with abuse problems if that is the theme, that is the reason that the person is seeing me. Although I do have colleagues in Brussels that are working on that issue, and they're even preparing some encounter groups for that kind of clients. For example, let me explain what an encounter groups are. It's, you probably all heard about the example of the AA groups, Alcoholics Anonymous, where a group of people with the same problem meet in order to share their experience and raise the awareness related to the issue. And the groups are led by trained psychologists or psychotherapists that specialize in that domain.
Yeah, I believe it all depends on the different clients. For example, maybe it is possible to work on improving the awareness for a client if, and here I do say if, you can manage to work in periods where, for example, the alcohol abuse is on a break. Many alcoholics have dry periods where this can be done, and then maybe develop a way into changing the abuse overall. However, it sometimes happens that we actually have to tell a client that for now, you will not be able to benefit from gestalt therapy. Does this happen for you, Una?
It happened to me that I declined some clients. It happened if they were too young or had psychiatrical problems, and it wasn't clear to me if they were seeing a psychiatrist or not. Then I prefer to refer them to a colleague. Also, it happened that some clients never called again. And I think that there is two possible explanations for that. The one is that they didn't think we had the right chemistry, or it just didn't work with clients who were not ready to start a therapy, but chose to call me because someone else told them they should. A therapy should be undertaken from both sides. The client is involved as much as the therapists. It is a teamwork.
Yeah. I just want to add here that I do have a couple of clients who also see a psychiatrist. It is absolutely possible that psychiatrist knows about the medicine and I do not. And in the therapy where we work together, we then deal with how the client wants to live his or her life, basically. So as you can hear, it's important for the therapist to know his or her boundaries. And as a client, it's always a good idea to ask a bit about these boundaries when you see a therapist. A bit about what's Gestalt in all of this. So what's Gestalt in this talk about who can benefit from Gestalt therapy? Well, I guess most of it is. If we look back at the aspects of the fit between the therapist and the client, Una, do you have anything you would like to add to this?
Well, there is a funny quote that I like very much about the personality of a Gestalt therapist, how important it is in therapy. It's a quote from a Gestalt therapist, Jim Simkin, saying that if a person was significantly different when they were a therapist from when they were a regular person, then at least one of them was full of shit, according to him. So here I'm implying that Gestalt therapy is not a technique. It is a life philosophy that the therapist should adopt first, and only then can bring something to his client. Gestalt therapy is an open system, meaning that it is in constant evolution and we can all contribute to its development for bigger and wider clinical use. There is a lot of research going on in the field of the Gestalt therapy, for example, neuroscience researches in combination with the use of Gestalt therapy and work with traumatized clients show really good official scientific results. And not only clinical, it is also a theory that has big social implication, but we'll talk about that another time, I think. So the authenticity of the therapist is important while making contact with the client, but it is also very important and even more important to have in mind that everything that happens during the session is done in the service of the client, in the benefit of the client. Some feedbacks that we can have might not be what the client would like to hear. That is why the how we say it becomes much more important than what we have to say. So this is also one of the elements of the field perspective. Our trainer in Brussels, André Lamy, told us once, you can do whatever you want in therapy sessions as long as you are fully aware of how you are doing it. And this is how I understand the field perspective as a posture. And if you adopt it, then you can use whatever technique that you've learned and that seems suitable at the moment. So the awareness is important for the therapist in terms also of knowing what is happening to him. It can bring you a lot of information according to the field perspective. Even if you feel annoyed or irritated or bored, it can be of valuable information that will give you a hint for the direction to take in further discussion. I have another quote of Jean-Marie Robin. It is also to have to let ourselves to be affected by the client through tenderness. And some people would call it empathy, but I prefer his notion of tenderness. So I'm explaining this. Empathy is supposed to be kind of identification with another person. And tenderness implies a certain degree of distance, which is necessary for the therapists, because the client has to know that there is two of us involved in the process. So that distance is supposed to go hand in hand with involvement, which is another crucial ingredient for a therapeutical setting.
Very interesting aspects around this fit between the client and the therapist. Yeah, very interesting. Thank you, Una. Very important elements of what's Gestalt in all of this, of who can benefit from Gestalt therapy. Now let's move on to closing the Gestalt. Closing the Gestalt. So now we're getting to the end of today's episode. This was a lot of input, both theoretical and practical, for who can benefit from Gestalt therapy. Thanks for all your wisdom in this area, Una. It was really appreciated.
Thank you, Elizabeth, so much for inviting me and to be your first guest. It was really an honor to participate in this podcast, which I listen very gladly every time there's a new episode.
Yes. And so if you are considering if Gestalt therapy is anything for you as a client, I do hope that you got some food for thought here and that you are, of course, always welcome to contact both Una and me. And you will find all the contact details in the description notes and on my webpage. So thanks again, Una, and thank you very much, all of you, for listening.
Thanks for listening to this episode. To make sure you never miss an episode, you can subscribe to the show via your podcast app of choice. Should you have any questions or comments, feel free to get in touch with Elizabeth Wille. You will find all the needed details on the website willegestalt.eu. Just a quick disclaimer, all case stories are anonymized and no clients directly quoted without prior written consent. And remember, any information you hear on this podcast, see on the Wille Gestalt website, Facebook page or Instagram, is for information purposes only and should never be a substitute for actual mental and or medical advice from a doctor, psychiatrist, or any other health professional.